Hey, hello, and welcome to the Third House podcast with me, Lotta Svensson, and my co-host,
Charlie Book.
And today we have a special guest. Do you want to introduce yourself? What's your name for the start?
Hi, guys. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Alexandra. I'm from Slovakia. So my English may be not so perfect. I'm sorry if I make any mistakes. I'm an astrologer, and I concentrate mostly on medical astrology, but I practice all kinds of astrology and I do all kinds of reading, but I have very high interest in medical astrology.
Exactly. And we're really pleased to have you here. And this is what this episode is about. I think medical astrology is a bit of a, it can be a bit difficult topic in a way, but nevertheless interesting. But let's start with you a bit. We met like on an online forum, and then we hit it off basically. There was questions about fertility in this sense, and I thought it was really interesting. Then we connected then, and then we met up a few times as I'm traveling between Sweden and Austria. We met up in Vienna a couple of times, and then we've had contact, and I find that I thought that it would be interesting to have you on the podcast to speak about how you use astrology, which I find is a chapter that not all astrologers, would I say, dare go into.
Yeah.
So let's start. Let me. I mean, this is a. We have the presentation of you, and what's, if I ask you, what's your connection to astrology? How did you start dwelling into this exciting topic?
You want the short story or the long story?
Well, let's give it a few minutes story, maybe. If it has interesting details, we can extend it.
I started to be introduced to astrology when I started to travel, when I was 19 years old, and I went traveling to Asia. And I was living in Bangkok for some time, and I happened to meet one Ayurvedic doctor who I really enjoyed talking to, because I was really interested at the time to Ayurveda and as well Chinese medicine. And he really liked me, and he saw that I have all this interest in the various knowledge, you know, spiritual knowledge and healing. And so he gifted me around 50 books, which he had, you know. And so I was going through those books, and there was one book, it was about Tibetan medicine. And the first time I saw there was a connection between medicine and astrology. And to be honest, I didn't know much about astrology at that time. You know, I knew about my sun sign, like most of us. That's our first connection to astrology. We read sometimes horoscopes and we think this is astrology, you know. So when I was reading through this book, it's quite hard for me to read and to understand, like, what is this connection? And so I was really curious, and I started looking more into it, and I started to learn, you know, about astrology. And that time, I mean, it was in early 2000s, so it was not internet yet, like, you know, like it has now, that you can just go and find information. So I really had to dig in and try to meet people who know something and read some books, I was fascinated, but I was as well skeptical. You know, I was thinking, how is this possible that generally, like, the stars can tell us about something, and not even with medicine? I mean, that for me sounded like too crazy, to be honest, you know. But I like to know for myself. And so that was the first, I was really curious if this works, if astrology works. So I start to get into it, and I realize, oh my God, it does work. You know, I was starting to read, not for myself, but I was wanted to do like for people I didn't know. I would like to see the chart, I would like to see the bird, and I would like to tell them something about themselves without me knowing them. Because if you do your friends, you know, you can get it's easily to, you know, you can be they can say, okay, but you know me. But if you meet somebody you don't know, so this was very interesting for me. And to coming to medical astrology, I was still not, even when I was doing a chart of somebody I didn't know and I was able to say something, I was feeling for myself I will be more convinced about astrology if I could pick on some health issue, because that's something so concrete, you know, so special.
Being an earth sign.
Yeah. So I wanted to see if this is real, and I was thinking, okay, if this is if I'm able to see a chart of somebody I don't know, and I'm able to point out a certain issues they have, and you cannot just say to somebody, okay, you have a liver problem, and they don't, because then you are done, you know. But if you really can point to something, and they're like, yeah, I have these problems, or yeah, I had a heart attack, or yeah, I had a cancer, or yeah. Then you kind of be like, okay, this is very already concrete, you know, very, very something you can point to. And I was fascinated, and I'm still am, and I still study. I mean, I study every day. I think you have to study, especially medical astrology, till forever, you know, till end of your days if you're interested, because it goes in hand in hand with medicine. You have to learn medicine as well. And this made me realize why all the medicine is as well so structured, because it's like I want to know everything, you know, like you have to, you know, you want to know all the systems, but it's so much things, you know, it's so much, so such a deep knowledge about how the body works and how we can see that in this symbolic thing in our charts.
Interesting. Yeah, thank you. This gives this a nice overview. Also, one thing I'm interested in is how you apply this medical astrology in your daily practice. What does it look like, or in your when you work with clients? And yeah, can you say something about that?
Usually I have to make sure for the clients to know that I'm not a doctor, you know, so you know people come to you for advice or to purely for interest, what I see in their chart, or with something specific that they want to know if I see it in their chart, or if they have some problems and the doctors are, you know, sometimes you have problems and you go to the doctor, you say, oh, have you have headaches, and people look at you like you're crazy because they don't believe you because all the results are great. And so people looking for other options they have to find out where is the root of the issue or what we can do. And so for this, astrology is good because it's good, you know, we can go to the root, we can see the psychological, you know, where is the connection of the psychological and the body, and we can see as well maybe any vitamin deficiencies which are possible, and I always then ask people to go and have a blood test, you know, to see what, you know, if this or this is missing, so we can always start from there, and then I can navigate them to, you know, as well as with everything, you know, change the nutrition and everything, but the astrology can be the first point. And as well, when you want to choose the right timing for your operation or for pregnancy, you know, especially when somebody's dealing with multiple miscarriages, you know, and something like that, it can be good to use an astrologer.
So, what would you look for example, if you are hoping to become pregnant, for example? What do you look at then, for example?
It always really depends of your own chart, you know, it really depends specifically, you know, on each chart, because it's so complex and you can really generalize. You know, you have to see, for example, I mean, it's much more, I will do examples, okay? Like, for example, we know that the five house and five house ruler, you know, has a lot to say about our children, and as well moon, Jupiter, you know, and or as well our Helic, you know, which is the health symbol.
What was that? What was the health symbol again?
Like, You know, he leg.
He leg or high leg.
I always call it the leg. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what it's actually. I've calculated this once. Now I remember, yes.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
It's not as part a part of fortune.
No, it's a he leg. It's, you know, it's usually sun, moon, or ascendant, but different schools use different points. Some of them use as well part of fortune. I don't use it. I use sun, moon, ascendant. There are techniques to choose which one is your he leg, which is like the health. How to say it in English? The
Indicator or
indicator of health. Yeah. And thank you. And yeah, so I like to look at that. Like if the sun, if the moon, if the he leg, or if the ruler of the fifth house are not having any major heart aspects, or if they're not retrograding, or if there is any aspect to Mars, especially, or Uranus, which causes a lot of times manifesting as miscarriages. So I would like to see Mars well positioned, and as well Mars well positioned, and yeah.
the helix slash high leg, I actually learned this from your you have a this description on your Instagram page, right? And we can leave the reference to this in the end or where we publish this then. And yeah, it was quite interesting. So high leg slash he leg, let's say he leg then, it's an in it's a general indicator of health.
Yeah, general. I mean, it's a sun, moon, or ascendant for me. And I mean, generally, when we look at to health, we look at these 3 points anyways, you know, so because, you know, there are three very important points. And but sometimes, you know, when you know that one of them is more prominent, like your in your health as a health symbol, you pay more attention to it, you know. For example, if you have a moon in 11th house and you have an eye chart, and you know moon is your helic, I mean moon in 11th house can be in quite good position, but and you would not connect it to the health because it's not in a 6th or 12th house, it's not any of your angles, it's not in the first house, but then you have like some malefic aspect, you know, like some Mars transition over the moon, you know, and or some aspect, and you think it could not manifest in health, you know, because it's in your 11th house and you don't really look in health, but it does manifest in your health, you know.
I can imagine that the moon is very connected, but that is me being a Cancer rising too. I'm constantly connected to wherever the moon is, whatever the moon is up to.
Especially as women, I mean, we are so connected to moon. I mean,
So I can almost hear from your language and also you told me, but it sounds like you're using a lot of like Hellenistic concepts. Do you want to explain a little bit about why that is and how you use that?
because we are in favor of it.
yeah, I'm in favor on it.
We use it where it comes from different backgrounds too. We use Placidus and modern astrology as well, but we find it interesting to dwell a bit on the Hellenistic phase.
Yeah, I started to learn Placidus first, and then with time I was introduced to Hellenistic astrology, and I for me it was as if I just find another level of astrology for me, you know. I just find that I have some structure, better structure on how to understand the planets and how to. I feel like it's more wholesome, you know, the Hellenistic astrology. And I don't want to say, I don't want some people who study Placidus or modern astrology to be offended, because of course we all find what we like. But for me personally, it's Hellenistic is some other level, you know. Especially as well for medical astrology and as well for predictions.
Yeah, I guess it's also because the Hellenistic or ancient or traditional types of astrology, they can be very precise and specific, and that can be very useful for when you have to make like judgments on what is when you're trying to determine like is there a problem here, what is, and then it's good to have like terms of benefic and malefic and those types of things. I guess you're also using what we talked about in an earlier episode that we released quite recently, about essential dignity. I guess you probably use that as well.
Yeah, essential dignity, of course. Yeah, a very helpful thing.
One question that I have is that what is especially important to look at a horoscope when it comes to medical astrology?
I mean, again, let's make it very general. What I first always look at is, of course, if it's a day chart or night chart. So I know the malefic, benefic, you know. This is generally for every reading. And then especially for medical, of course, if any stelliums popping out, then 6-12 house axis, any planets around angles, especially MC, but as well DC or IC, it can be plus minus with MC 10 degrees even. And then the Hylek, and Moon, Sun, of course, and ruler of the ascendant, ruler of the fifth house and 12th house, the connection between them, to see which element is prevailing, which modality, then if there is any midpoints. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like what we do when we're reading any other chart, but like you. Of course, you put the focus on the 6th and 12th house axis a lot, and the rule of those houses.
Because those are generally associated with health and illness
Yeah,
and
exactly. And the first half, of course, because the first house is as well, you know, it's the body, the you know, the
your physicality. Yeah.
physicality, yeah.
So if we should look at some examples, I mean, I know a few in the back of my head, but I maybe I will do a little test on you if we learned the same, we have the same knowledge. But for example, in the first house, what can signify hell? If it not maybe not go in so much to what's bad and good health, because I don't want to scare every listener, but what can it mean, for example, if you have Jupiter conjunct the ascendant or in the first house?
Jupiter, usually has this expansive energy, so you know, growth, and so depending in which sign, of course, and what are in other aspects, and so, but Jupiter can make a person to be have problem with larger body. You know, you can get easily overweight, which as well then can be connected to diabetes. As well, some blood issues can be there, you know, like it can be high pressure. It really depends again with what are the other, what is the connection, you know, with
Yeah, but what aspects it, and then yeah, and which sign it is. It's not always so easy.
exactly. Firstly, you can you understand what Jupiter is signifying, what everything Jupiter is signifying, because there is many things, and then you see how it can play out in this particular sign. Imagine you have a Jupiter, and then you have it in sign of Capricorn, for example, which is Saturn ruled, and so you're putting Jupiter and Saturn together, and you see how that power is working, you know, or you have a Jupiter in a Mars sign, and you see how that is, how these two are correlating. So, for example, or you have a Jupiter in you have Jupiter in Leo, you know, it's a fire sign, and the Jupiter can make the exaggerate the fire, you know, in your body, so there can be maybe more inflammation in your body, you know, or you can be prone to more fevers than other people, you know. Some people get sick, and they get some virus, and they get fever easily. And some people can be sick and don't have any, you know. But again, I'm generalizing, but this could be one of the manifestations.
So how about then, how is it when Jupiter is in Gemini in the 12th house, asking for a friend.
Gemini in the 12th house in Gem sorry, Jupiter in 12th house in Gemini. So Jupiter is coming together with the Mercury. And Mercury as a mutable, you know, it's that kind of nervous energy a little bit, you know, it's that kind of mental, especially in 12th house, can be mental, you know. So with the Jupiter, there could be like some exaggerated mental issues, you know. Of course, depending on the rest of the chart, I really don't like to make these generalizations, but there could be this kind of, you know, anxieties, maybe insomnia, you know. But as well, Jupiter in 12th house often is, it's been told, is like a guardian angel, you know, that many times protects people when something bad happens. Like, for example, there is some certain accident, a big accident, and a lot of people suffer. And you are like surviving because you have this guardian angel, you know. So that's a good, it's a good thing to have a Jupiter in 12th house, but yeah, with the Mercury in Gemini, it can be, it's in the fall, no, it's in detriment.
Yeah, because Mercury is yeah, the Jupiter expanding and Mercury likes the detail, so it's a bit how you get this together.
Yeah, I would see it. It could be as it could be as this mental issue because it's in 12th house. But again, it could be more things because Mercury depends what Mercury symbolize. Gemini, you know, can be the and then what Jupiter symbolize, and you put these two together.
Yeah, and whether it's a day or night chart.
Exactly.
I was thinking about something about Jupiter too, and that is that at least in Hellenistic astrology, it's often said that Jupiter can be very stabilizing. So I guess that is like getting into the thing you're saying about it being a guardian angel or something in the 12th house.
Yeah, in medical astrology, we're looking in Jupiter like something excessive, like it's excess, you know, like so depending on which sign it can be. For example, if you have a Taurus, it can be excessive mucus, you know, because, you know, Taurus rule the throat. And it can, if you have it in
Yeah, but my first example, what I came to my mind was Jupiter in Aries, like an excessive headache.
Oh yeah. For example, that, yeah. Because it can make excess of blood to your head, you know, and so you can get that headache caused from the excessive blood in your head, you know, like excessive it can cause as well, I know, like how is the encephalitis, you know, when you have the when people born with the excess water, when you have this excess water.
So, how about Jupiter's skinny brother, Saturn? What kind of, from my pre-knowledge, I would say Saturn is ruling maybe bones, teeth, restrictions also.
Yeah. As well, chronic pain, for example. For example, stones in your body. You know, when you have people have stones. As well, gallbladder. Skin issues, eczema, for example. You know, dryness.
Yeah, because the skin is also part of the structure that Saturn provides in the body, I guess.
Exactly. Depression. You know, the dark Saturn, stagnations, because Saturn is the one who restricts, slow things, and dry, block, hardens, you know. So any like vein hardenings, any blood blockages. For example, we were talking about Jupiter, which rules blood, so Jupiter in Capricorn, you know, it can be like a blood blockages or a black st a blood stagnations or for example, Saturn in Libra, which is the kidneys ruler in all Libra, so it can bring the kidney stones, manifest kidney stones.
So I have an example, also asking for a friend. Saturn in Aries, fallen Saturn in Aries. How could that manifest, do you think?
Saturn in Aries. Again, it can restrict the blood to the in the head, you know, to so it can be headaches as well. It can be as aneurysm, because the cloggage, you know, embedded happening in the brain in the head space. Sorry, I don't want to scare anybody. Of course, you have to look at the whole chart. No, it doesn't mean that you have this thing. It's these things happen. Yeah, it's just one of the manifestations possible. Teeth issues can be as well, because you know it's happening in this area. It can happen paralysis, you know, face paralysis. I mean, we're looking at Saturn. And we're looking at Mars, which is the ruler of the Aries, you know, and so restricting something which is martial, you know, so it can be.
Could it be that the like action and power you have that is restricted? Could that like indicate depression or something like that, maybe?
Of course, you know, like psychologically, of course, like Saturn, you know, in Aries, again, depends in which house and what we are talking about, but I mean, Saturn is good in our, is not bad in Aries, because Saturn is cold, you know, it's a cold planet, and it coming to Aries, which is very fiery. So is the Saturn get balanced there, you know, it's more balanced in this fire sign. But and it's really not bad displacement, so
Except for that it's fallen, but I guess.
It's fallen, yeah, it's fallen, but it's not so bad. I mean, not so bad when it comes to these energetic things, but yeah, it can manifest as some stagnation of something or blockage, something it happening in the head, you know. So again, it really depends.
So it seems like every position could be pretty bad and every position could be okay.
Yeah, for sure, because everything is yin and yang, you know, and everything brings something positive and everything brings something negative, and not everything can manifest and not everything will manifest. So for this it's really hard to say, because depends of on the other things, but it's just about, I mean, everybody who try to learn about medical astrology and understand how you have to understand how the planet reacts together, like the cold Saturn and the hot Mars, you know, for example, or if you have two cold planets together, you know, if you have Mars in a fire sign, you know, you have Mars in Leo, for example, how that's gonna exaggerate the fire, how that's gonna play maybe in this like heart issues, you know, and as well, then it comes down to psychology, because you know these people, you know, you have the fire, you have this choleric personality, which gets easily agitated, you know, especially when you have like the Mars in a sun sign. So you get the fire and fire together, and it's the fixed fire, you know. So it's really like concentrated.
So, what can be the ind now we've looked at some problems, which is normally when you go to a doctor, you normally get you go there because you have a problem and you want to see, can it be this? Should I look up this? And that's what I guess what the why would you go to a medical astrologer? I mean, what are the benefits of because it's also a bit of a scary topic in a way. Once you see this in your chart, maybe look at it, okay, I have this, and if you translate it too literal, okay, this might mean that I have a problem with this, or maybe have a proneness to this disease, or I mean, this is a downside of using going into the medical astrology or a medical field generally, actually. But what's the benefits of using medical astrology? I mean, how would you go about this in a reading, for example, when you see there is a problem somewhere?
For example, as this example we are using, you know, you see somebody has a Mars in a fire sign, and of course every times you're talking about health, we know that the psychology and the physical, it's so connected, and it really is. Of course, you cannot change the person in the moment, you know, but you can point to that kind of behavioral patterns which may influence the overall health, you know. For example, if somebody gets easily irritated, you know, and you see it in the chart, and they don't know you, you And they don't take it personally. Like, for example, you have a spouse and they say, oh, you are so, you're this choleric, and you say, oh, I'm not.
Always more difficult to diagnose your closest.
Exactly. But then somebody else, I mean, of course, you have to be very politically correct to say that, okay, maybe I see something, like, and you ask concrete, like, how you are usually reacting to certain situations. Do you feel that you have any issues in that, or do you feel like you hold a lot of anger, or you feel like you hold a lot of resentment, or and then you just blow up sometimes, and when you just go, you just talk to the person and you kind of peel off the layers. And they open up, and then you realize, okay, you have this issue, and then how you can work on this issue, and how do you? It's kind of like a psychology then, a little bit, you're kind of like therapist for the people, you can point certain things out, and you can give helping hand to how to navigate these things, or who to see to further better yourself. And you can see that, okay, if you don't make these steps, then you are risking for this and this happening in the future. I don't say it's gonna happen, but it can be a possibility, because it's here in your chart. So it can be a preventing measure. For example, if you see that somebody is prone to accidents, and it happens all the time, and I practice it in my relationship, for example, or with a friend sometimes when they and I say to them, okay, now it's really time that you should be careful about certain things. Be aware. Don't drive fast. Don't. I don't say something gonna happen, but you are in a critical moment now. For this to happen.
And is this Mars you're talking about, or is it Uranus? Do you use the outer planets?
Outer planets. I mean, I always look at the chart. I try to look at the charts without the outer planets as well first. And then I put the outer planets there, but especially for things like predictions, of course, it's the main point how I do prediction from the slow moving planets. And of course, Mars and Saturn transits, especially Saturn transits as well. They can be very telling.
What would indicate health in a horoscope?
Strong position of a sun, very good sun, not debilitated, without any harmful aspects. So your main vitality, the fire, the chi, the life force, So when you have a day chart and your sun is well positioned, it's good. As well, ascendant ruler without any harmful aspect, not harmful aspect, without any aspects which are difficult, when you have already some hard aspect with Saturn or Mars or any outer planet, from your ascendant, then the energy can be not so easygoing, I don't think it ever happened that you can find a chart which is like just everything is balanced. There is always something which is out of balance. There is always something in some critical degree. There is something retrograding. There is something in the hard aspect. There is always something, that it's out of balance. We can see that, and we can say, okay, what we need to balance in our life, in our career, our behavior, our spirits, how to deal with any setbacks we have in our life. I really say to people, one of my main thing is to really do 1 year blood test, every year blood test, but like full panel, because I often feel like the doctors, don't care about it. And we just get like some basic, but all the vitamin, minerals, hormones, they're just what builds us, what is the basic of what we are.
And what we eat.
Yeah, but that's come after, that comes when you eat something, when it depends how well your body function, if you're able to assimilate all the nutritions you need, because sometimes you can eat all the great food, but you have certain things happening in your stomach, your microbiome is not well, or you're missing certain vitamins, minerals, and you're not assimilating everything well. Doesn't matter you eat well, you're not gonna get the nutrition you need, and you're gonna have something missing. You can be low on I don't know B vitamins, or you can be low on some iron, or you can be low on, I don't know, many of some hormonal, almost a lot of women have hormonal issues, thyroid. This is very important every year to do like the full panel to see if there is anything missing. And I don't say that people should go on some synthetic vitamins to take all these like vitamins, but then to learn which food to take, which have these vitamins, and to start to eat more of it, to see. Because I see that we tend to eat a lot of times the same things we like. We know how to cook, and we have our favorites, and we tend to repeat it, and it's not always maybe the best thing what we can eat for our body.
So, I'm a little curious because you do study some medicine more than in the astrological field. So it sounds like you're using both like Western traditional medicine, but also some other stuff. Do you want to go into that?
Yeah. I mean, I am interested in the Chinese medicine especially, because I like how they explain, that how everything is connected in our body, and I don't like that about the medicine which we have in the Western medicine, that we're just looking at how to suppress what we have. Okay, you have the cough, so we suppress the cough, but we don't look. What else is going on in our body, and that's why it's happened, and so many times it happens now that you have an issue, you go to the doctor, and that's everything is okay. There is nothing bad, like you're okay, but you somehow can explain to people, you cannot explain to nobody that okay, I feel pain, or I feel dizzy, or I feel I meet so many people like that, and they're so desperate, really. They're looking for anything, like to just find a help. And
To validate their experience somehow.
yeah, I myself had experience that time. I didn't It was a strange experience, but it has nothing to do with astrology. I had strange headaches, I felt like something was like sitting on my head, like it was really, really, really strange. And I was going to the doctors, and they think I'm crazy, and I couldn't explain it, like how is this possible? And I tried everything. Then a friend of mine told me that he knows some woman, and that she do some healing, and that maybe I can go to her. And I really had nothing to lose, she was like okay, whatever. I really didn't believe. Again, I was skeptic, and she was amazing. I didn't tell her anything, and she went over me. And she said, oh my God, there is something on your head, and there is some mud, and I will pull it out. And I was like, okay, pull whatever you want. I really still didn't trust her. And she said, oh, you're so cold, I cannot get in. Like, you don't trust me. Well, but next day I woke up and there was nothing. And it was not placebo or anything, because I really didn't trust her.
That was Reiki healing, or
It was a mixture of some Reiki and something else. I don't know what exactly it was. I never really talked to her. And she was this old woman. She lives in the mountains, and she came to my town sometimes. I mean, this happened already like 10 years ago, but I was shocked. I was like, wow, this was amazing. Yeah, there are things which
we don't know everything there is to know, so.
no. But I mean, same like with astrology, we know that there are all these electromagnetic waves, and we are all like energies, and things just work,
Sometimes it's difficult to explain why it might work with the words, with the terminology and the understanding that we have at hand. And that's mostly a problem for astrology, I think.
I think, I mean, from my point, we every day we are connected to physics, like every day we don't realize that the fact that we can see, it's a physics. The fact that we can hear is physics. It's the waves, it's the electromagnetic waves, it's the frequencies, it's the, the when you touch, you feel that there is the reaction from the neuron. The things that we see, light, all this electro, and it's proven by scientists that electromagnetic waves, that something that's already, that's nothing to be disputed, that the planets create the energy, and that I mean, the sun is the source of our light, on this planet. And And we know that how these things affect us, the seasons, for example, the seasons affects, I mean, there are studies, it affects our immunity, it affects our hormonal system, it affects animals, you know, for example, the breeding seasons of animals, it affects, you have full moon, you have the tides, you know, you have, there is so many things which we already know and are proved. And then to think that this has no effect on us. It's crazy, you know. I mean, we don't know, or I don't know exactly the perfect physics because I'm not the physics, but I know that, and from my experiences, already see how somebody do something over me and it worked.
And I think a lot of people have this experience that they can sometimes even be ashamed to admit that the regulated, you go through the regulated healthcare system, you don't find the support you need, or you don't find the reason or what to do about your problems, and then you look in the alternative spectrum of treatment, and something helps, and then it's okay, then you cannot explain why, but it's I think it, I've heard I come across quite a lot of people who have this who search in both. Not to say that there's nothing to be found in within the traditional system, because there is a lot, but there is more as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't say that the medicine which exists is all bad. I mean, there is, you know, a lot of chirurgy, you know, or the things when you have to repair and operate and put together. I mean, it's amazing. But I just don't think that there are certain things like when you have pains, you know, and to calm it down just with painkiller, you know, and especially in this age when people just popping painkillers like it's a sugar. It's not the best thing, and not to look into the root causes. I think when we look into these root causes, and if we do more prevention things, and if we do more of this detailed testing of blood testing, for example, then we can prevent a lot of things happening and not coming too late, you know. Because I have my own experience with family members and even myself that. Sometimes, you know, you need something, you need some tests, and they say to you, okay, in half year you can be on the list, you know. And in half year then they tell you, they find something and then tell you came too late. You know. So with the health, I mean, everything can happen just so fast. And you can be the person I mean, I met people who thought that they live the perfect life, that they were yoga teachers, they eat healthy, vegan, and exercised, and you know, spiritual, and they got cancer, you know. So some things are genetic as well, you know. You can see that as well in the chart, for example, through Pluto, you know, if there is any generational something in your DNA maybe, which is pointing that you can have some generational. Which come some sickness which coming through your family, but yeah, so not everything can be saved. And then it's your karma, you know, because I mean my look at it is that there are certain things we are destined, you know, we are destined to happen to us, no matter our will. Although now in this modern astrology, we tend to think we have will over everything, but I believe there are certain things from our karma which are just given, and that's it. That's our lesson. That's our karma. And then there are other things which we're choosing, you know, and we're navigating, and we can make it better or worse for us. I don't know if you agree with that, but this is my opinion. I don't know.
It's like fate, karma, coincidence, and choices, like free will.
If all was karma, then you wouldn't need to go to a
Yes.
medical astrologer at all, or do anything about anything, which is not the brightest perspective. But it's yeah, that some major event are karmic and some are changeable.
Because I don't know, I look at it, for example, you know, you're already born into certain situation, and that has to be karmic. You're born into certain family, you're born into certain environment, certain state, depending, you know, it depends so much how your life goes. If you're born in India, it's gonna be different when you're born in Canada, you know, and it's different if you're born in a family of radical religion, or if you're born with somewhere else, you know, and everything is forming you, and it's I think that's already karma, that you are born exactly in this to this in this place with these people, or you think it's something by chance.
And it's like this old perspective of like, no one can understand the rules of fate and karma. Like, no one knows where it comes from. And it's said that karma is also like anadi, like beginningless. So I don't think we should, when we talk about karma and fate and all of this, I think it's good to say that. Of course, I don't know your opinion of it, but my thought is that it's not about being punished or something like that. It's more like just the consequences of maybe past decisions in past lives or just in your life. Like, I will get some consequences if I throw a stone through a window, for example, there, then I will have some karma from that, or like my fate will be.
For me, I look at it like a lesson, you know, that's something you need to be taught, something you need to teach yourself through that experience. I don't look at it like it's something like to be bad, something bad supposed to be happening to you. But I take it like, okay, you have to go through these emotions, and you have to go through this hardship or through this luck, you know. I mean, sometimes you have a lot of luck in your karma. And you just have to it's experience. I mean, our life is just an experience. It's a movie in a way, you know. I always look at it like it's a movie and chapters, and we're going through these experiences, and some of as everything, again, it's yin and yang. Sometimes we have a good day, sometimes it's a bad days, and I know it's there are some people, and I often have clients, and I listen to their life story, and some stories are really heavy, you know. You really feel like you are going through life from one hardship to other, and that's very tough.
So when it comes to karma, what do you see are the karmic indicators in a horoscope, or do you see the whole horoscope as equally describing this?
You're looking at two, especially South Node, of course, South Node, any connection to any heart planets, for example. But you look at whole chart. You look at the whole chart, because for me the whole chart is your karma. You know, it's not like something. Yeah, you look at the South Node, like your past life experience, but the karma, it's the whole print of your chart. You know, the it's the moment of when you were born, which got imprinted in this chart.
I think I see in the fourth house could have a could be heavy, like to weigh a little extra when asserting these things.
Second house as well can, you know, because it comes from the family generation, like a family influence, family values, you know, and for example, depending of the family heritage, what is coming to you from this chain of family, it affects you. And I understand that fourth house as well, because I mean that's your mother, and as well it's some it's a place of security, and so maybe from a mother line, you can more distinguish the female maternal line. I don't know if you're gonna be understanding with me, because the Hellenistics say the fourth house is the father and the 10th house is the mother, and this is the only one thing from the Hellenistic I feel not really.
Applies, or
Maybe it was a typo.
No,
Yeah.
I see that people use it like that, but and I wanted to use it like that, but I just when I read for people, I don't see it to be, I don't find it true. You know, I always find more correlation to when I talking about mother with the fourth house, the fourth house ruler. And I often find that when the 10 house ruler is in the 4 house, it's like the mother took over the father's role. And then when the 4 house ruler is in 10 house, the father took over the mother role. For example, parents were divorced and the baby kids stayed with the father or mother, or one of them died, you know, or one of them were not present in a way. So the other parents were the more present one in a family.
Can I ask you a question? Can we go a little bit more into the nodes of the moon, the north and south node, or Rahu and Ketu in Indian? How do you use them? Like, I know there are a couple of different perspectives on them. So how do you use it in the medical setting?
I see a lot of times correlation with the no nodes and the mental issues, for example. It seems a lot, especially like a north node with aspects to sun or moon, and as well nodes in the first house. I have a lot of clients who deal with like depression, anxieties, or any bipolar and stuff like that.
They are the eclipsing points, so of course that could be like a darkening of your perception.
Yeah, I really often see this, and for me, it's like the first when I see this, I often go straight there because it feels like it's always true.
Do you use it as, because I've heard in the Hellenistic setting that you can see the north node or Rahu is like increasing while in like being expansive and having hunger, and Ketu or the south node is being like diminishing stuff and shrinking and.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you for yeah, exactly like that. So it's the same like sun and for example, the Rahu, it's like expanding, and because the energy of the sun is, it's like this expanding. And same with Rahu, and south node is constricting like Saturn.
So Ketu with a bad thing could be pretty good, and Rahu with a bad thing could be pretty bad.
Exactly, yeah. Sometimes when you have, not always it manifests that way, but north node as well can manifest in a major illness, especially if part of the some hard aspect, especially conjunctions to ascendant or sun and moon. But if it's in a sixth house, for example, and it's not any there is not any harmful aspect, it can as well give good vitality. But with south node in a sixth house, the opposite, it can give these continuous issues.
Do you use any like Indian or Vedic astrology?
No, I don't. I study a little bit of Vedic astrology, but it's so as well so broad that you have to really concentrate on it. And I feel like when I completely master after many, many years that one, I go for the other. But it's just so hard.
If this moment would ever come when you can please completely master any part of the astrological field.
Yeah, it's really hard because you feel like I just always feel like I know nothing. I know nothing, I know nothing. And I study a lot, and I always feel like, yeah, there is always you find something else to learn, and it's a Pandora box you open and you just get sucked in.
Isn't this the one significator of actually have achieved a certain level of proficiency within a topic when you have this experience of, I mean, the more you, this is a paradox, that the more you learn something, the less you realize that you actually know.
It can be. I mean, I'm a sun at 8th house, and my Mercury is not well positioned. So I'm always the one doubting myself, and I always had like a low self-esteem, and even there was nothing to in my life that it would point to that, but. But you're right that maybe, but I still feel like I know nothing.
But it could also be a blessing because being humble in your approach to what you do is can be very good. That's also why we chose the name The Third House for our podcast, or part of the reason is that we thought it's a good thing to be like in a learner's mind and in a beginner's mind, and not being like sit on a high horse and say like I know everything. Like being more like,
Like the ninth house or a Sagittarius or something.
well, I have a lot of Sagittarius, but I have moon in third house.
yeah. Oh, the moon's joy, the same as me.
Yes,
Yeah.
you do. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, no, it's one of the placement I like. My moon is has a good placement.
Leo moon.
Yeah.
So now we have mastered your big three, haven't we?
I'm a Gemini ascendant, Capricorn Sun and Leo Moon. Very very different, very three different powers fighting with each other.
Maybe doing some good work as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's good to have this balance of energies, you know, because I'm happy with my astro. I mean, I am happy with what I was given.
Or maybe you chose it before you went down. There are theories about this. Actually, I've heard that you might choose the ascendant, like yeah, when you that I had a school of some kind of reincarnation way of where the soul actually chooses. Somehow you choose your life, you choose parents, you choose parts of your karma or key moments, and you choose when to go down. But what you can choose, yeah, the baby is born whenever it's born. I mean, it has a due date and so. But they say that who was it? Was it Rosorius maybe? Was it who said that the soul travels through the ascendant? And that we are, and I've also heard that we are, when we choose, this ascendant is what we can choose ourselves. So, for example, I have chosen my Cancer ascendant, how I want my outlook on life and my how I'm perceived by the world and so.
Your dharma, like what your purpose is.
Yeah, I believe that you choose. Yeah, for sure. That's
Maybe you choose it as a sacrifice sometimes. Like I choose a hard path because I need to do this or something. Yeah, we can go into
yeah,
that a
that's a
lot,
whole
but
another
maybe we
conversation.
should do a whole episode on like fate, karma, and
Yes,
fortune. That
yes.
could be cool.
At least one.
At least one, yes. Chris Brennan has his whole book called Hellenistic Astrology: The Study of Fate and
Yeah.
Fortune. So there is a
Yeah,
lot to unpack
that is
there.
amazing. He's great. Yeah, I love him.
So that ties into a question that I have for you, Alessandra. What can you give us and our listeners some like reading examples and tips for like how have you studied medical astrology and how can other people learn it?
I have various books I studied, I mean, I really read my first books were the Ptolemy Tetrabiblos and Valens, the Anthology, you know, all the books. Oh God, I'm so bad with the names of the. I have some old books I found on internet. They're really, really old books. But I let me check if I have it here. I can say it.
In the meanwhile, I can show a book that I took out for this very occasion, which is the one from Lee Lehman. She's quite into this medical astrology. I've looked into this. This is not my favorite style of writing, but I think it can be really good for whoever it applies to. But she's very knowledgeable. This is something for
I
sure.
found the one I liked a lot was the Medical Astrology by Heinrich Datt. The at and another one was Astro Diagnosis, A Guide to Healing by Max Heindel. This was my, I think, favorite books.
That's awesome. Just we don't need everything, of course, but it's nice to just have a few things that people can look
They are
into.
very good books. They're very, I think, old, and sometimes they are like hard to read, especially the first one, I think, but good books.
Shout out to Chris Brennan, who have recently released a copy of Balance, the anthology. So that's pretty easily
That's a good
available
idea.
now.
I will.
That's good.
Yeah, we're all a fan of this of Brennan, I think. I just finished I actually got my exam. I finished my exam for the course. I got my the course diploma for the Hellenistic astrology. And yay. And I'm going into the next one is I'm gonna have a deep dive into the electional part, which I find could be quite useful. Maybe I will start to choose auspicious times and dates for starting things. But speaking of inspiration, Alessandra, who we normally ask in this pod as well, who is your, do you have any particular astrologer or who has been in your
Now, from
inspiration?
these Hellenistic modern people, it's Adam Ellenbass. I mean, he doesn't do medical astrology, but I love him. He's the best for me. He's just such a broad knowledge about. I just admire him, and I wish one day I can speak like him because I have a lot of things in my head, but I'm not so used to speak on camera, and so I get. I really sometimes feel like I don't know nothing.
Yeah, he's my teacher, so I
Yeah,
love him too.
he is.
I'm doing his
Oh, amazing.
course. Yeah, I'm doing his course. Yeah.
And you find him through Nightlight Astrology? Is this his?
Nightlight
I found
astrology,
him on
that's the
YouTube
right.
once, and I'm just addicted to his videos, and I love listening to him. And I think he has such a good way of explaining things to people, especially beginners. You know, when you really need to understand. The reason behind why something is what it is, you know, why the energy of Mars is like this, and why just the real basic which everybody should know. And he's really great in explaining that. And I would really recommend it for anybody who want to learn astrology to take his course. I mean, I didn't took his course, but if I was about to take some course, I would definitely take him. I'm promoting
I'm promoting. Yeah, but we
paying.
love shout outs here. It's just nice to have a big community of astrologers that we just like we
No
like
one
these
is too
people.
big or too small for this community.
Exactly.
He's great. And as well, from the modern, I really like the books. Some books which influenced me was Liz Green. I mean, she used Placidus, I think, but I really loved her books on Saturn.
I just ordered her book, The Astrology of Fate.
Ah, yes, exactly, this one. It's an amazing book.
Yeah.
It's an amazing book, yeah. And
Adam Ellenbass was reading from it a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, I think I need a Liz Green book, so I'll order that one. Okay, so Alexandra, is there anything else you want to share before we end?
another things to check for your health is, for example, eclipses. And especially when they're happening in your 6-12 house axis on the first house. And that's it. I won't say more. I want to say there was this connection with the TCM. You know, you asked me before about how I connect traditional Chinese medicine, for example, to astrology. And in my head right now, I don't have it. But for example, you know, you have 6 and 12 house, you know, and the 6 and 12 house, they are part of an axis. And for example, okay, so the Aries Libra belongs to the renal axis, you know, so You have the axis, and so you have, for example, Aries in sixth house and Libra in 12th house. And so Libra rules the kidneys, and you would say that you have the Aries in sixth house, and you will think first thing that it's a head, okay? It rules the head, but because of the axis, it can as well be connected to the renals, you know, or like kidneys and stuff, which you don't think about it when you just see the Aries. You don't look, you know, some people just look at the sixth house, like, okay, this is the sixth house, this is the health house, but the 12th house can be as much descriptive, you know. And so you have the renal axis, you know, which is important because, like, the for example, you have the adrenal glands produce cortisol and adrenaline and testosterone, and this can be affected, and all the imbalance can create, you know, stress and insomnia and blood sugar imbalance. But you would never think about it when you see Aries, you know. And for example, if you have this stress, it can increase blood flow into your brain. And it can cause headaches or inflammations, you know, or you can be prone to viruses or mucus congestions in the nasal passages. And so, yeah, there is like all these connections, you know, to see. I don't know if it makes sense. And for then you have a Taurus together with Scorpio, and this generative axis, you know. It can be the endocrine system, you know, endocrine glands as well, like a pancreas, ovaries, testes. So then you have Saturn, Gemini, Sag, they are a respiratory axis, which belongs to, like, I don't know, you can bronchitis, asthma, pneumonia, you know, colds, but as well skin conditions, because, you know, like, the skin is our biggest organ, you know. And so there is like the rashes and eczema again, and acne, and then as well, we're talking about things which are clearing out, so there can be something like constipation, vomiting, you know. Then you have cancer, and Capricorn. That's a structural nutritive axis, which again, like, psychologically can be connected to some like worrying and depression, and which can be connected to like gastric issues, because, you know, we have this we feel this anxiety in our stomach, and, you know, the depression, you have all the nerves there, and some chronic constipations or fatigue, and then we have the Leo Aquarius, that belongs to circulatory axis, and that's you know, this belongs to the cardiovascular system, so the like heart and blood vessels, and as well it's in connection to the traditional medicine, that the Chinese, it's where our spirit is. So, and our spirit is equivalent to our overall vitality. And so, for example, we can see it in somebody's complexions, or how energized they are, or the mental activity, you know, feeling foggy or feeling very clear. And as well, you know, the Leo heart and all these heart attacks and low high blood pressure and heart palpitation. And then you have Virgo and Pisces, and they belong to the digestive immune axis, and that's a very sensitive one. And the main affected organs are stomach, spleen, pancreas. And for example, from the Chinese medicine, spleen and pancreas is the most important because they initiate the digestive processes. And so the absorption of the nutrients. And when this is not working well, then everything is affected from hormones, and it can lead to many, many issues, swelling, stones, paralysis, menstrual issues, bloating,
All the nice stuff.
and the nice stuff.
But it shows that it's all a system and how it works together. What springs to my mind is how the axes are. I mean, for example, they are opposites, so they would be from the same quadruplicity. And how it's like what we say. I was looking mo searching mostly for this for the mutable ones, double bodied in the Hellenistic, which are the Gemini Sag axis and Virgo Pisces, and how I apply this to the different the processes in the body. These are more coming and going, whereas looking at the cardinal signs, it's something that starts. It's something, some kind of onset. At least that's how I do it. It can be. It's how I relate it, and together with the elements. But I tend to think in these ways. For example, like I mean, if you look at Gemini and how it's ruled by Mercury and looking at the skin, for example, and all this nervousness and what effects it can have, is very momentary.
Like from what I learn, experience is that cardinal signs, they are more prone to acute disorders than the fixed sign, more to the chronic, and the mutable more immunological. The vitality is very low, and so for example, when you look at the chart and you see that there is big dominance of, for example, fixed signs, especially on the angles, that the angles are fixed, then is the person more prone to chronic illness. And so you can already start to see the picture in this way. There are some other techniques which are quite difficult, and I don't want to go into it just to see, for example, there are some planets in these opposite houses, in for example fixed signs, and you see which I don't know if I articulate it well, where is missing the energy, and in this organ maybe manifesting the sickness instead of, so instead of this 6th 12th house, it's gonna be manifesting somewhere in, for example, in 4th house, but it's a bit different. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not so good to explaining it.
But I think I understand it, that the angles are also, it's important to look at the angles as well as there are the specific health related houses, because the angles is what defines you. It's always going to have a big impact in your life.
And for example, when you have the mutable signs on the angles, that time your vitality, or you're more prone to, for example, when you have a child and is more prone to like all these sicknesses, like when they were young, that there is always some problem, infections. It's often happened with these mutable angles.
Things that come and go.
But sometimes this it's with the immune, it can it's so hard to fix sometimes these things. I mean, for me personally, I have, you know, I have these axes, and you know, since childhood I was dealing with bronchial asthma and eczema, you know, and all these and skin issues, you know, always like these underlying things. And I have that, yeah, I have this mutable axis. I don't know what's yours experience with you have what kind of your moon, you have cardinal axis. So
Yeah, we're
any
both Cancer risings. Yeah.
so any acute issues?
When I go to my own horoscope, I've looked a bit at it. I mean, I can really relate to what you said about the eclipses in the houses when I had it, and then there was eclipse season, the last eclipse season, which was in Gemini Sagittarius. This was I could feel it's having heavy impact on my health. Now turning going into now we're in the midst of the Scorpio Taurus eclipse season. Like the eclipses are bouncing back between these signs. So this is something that applied to me as well as yeah another thing that I about the sixth house and Neptune that I found out. But when it comes to the angles, I think I have to, yeah, it takes a bit of process time to, I think you have to give these things some time and let them sink in and dwell on it properly.
Yeah, as well, it depends, of course. Again, if you're talking about angles, if there are any planet in these angles, if you have ascendant in Cancer and there is a cardinal sign, but you have stellium in some fire sign, or you have like a lot of planets in other elements, then that element's gonna be stronger, you know. So it's.
I think that will take over. I have planets both in 12th and 6th house. And I heard this Neptune in the 6th can be these things that are a bit, and this is in Sagittarius. So there can be something like a bit coming and going, something that's normally diffuse, hard to pinpoint, difficult to diagnose, not really fitting in the system. So this is what how I experience that.
Yeah, that would pretty much be that. But a lot of times it has the autoimmune with Neptune, is that autoimmune issues, which can be many times undiagnosed, you know. It can be something which is undiagnosed, but it has to do with your immunity. And Neptune, as you say, it can be a lot of time misdiagnosis and something which is not really even known, maybe something which doesn't even have a name, you know, some issue.
That would just be my luck.
Yeah,
But I heard you told me once that when it comes to Neptune in the six, that yeah, when you get it, when you get a medicine, and when they prescribe a one tablet, then you take half, for example. And this I find very much. This I got help from, and then it made me. It gave a bit of greater understanding to myself and to my sensitivity in these areas, and to value this and take care of this. And I think this is one of the. I mean, this is one of the main benefits from using every medical source you can get, not only for diagnosis, but also for understanding what give you ideas of what could your issues possibly be, and then be your own best doctor in asserting those issues, or live in the way that you actually need to stay healthy. So as much as focusing on problems, which we are, then of course there's there what we want to do is to achieve health, and that's why we use all sorts of sources for this,
Yeah, I mean,
whether it's a
there is so many sources, and when we are, when we have any medical issues, I know for myself that you try to look for anything, you know, what could give you answers and at least some starting point from where to go, you know, to try to navigate. Because we go to doctor and they say there is everything is okay and you still have the issue, then you kind of lost and you don't know who to believe and what to believe and what to think, and you start to doubt your own feelings. You start to think you are the crazy one, and then it starts to be hard, because then the psychologically you will make it yourself maybe worse, and really you don't know where to. Because there is a lot of natural healing, you know, there is a lot of nutrition help, there is a lot of you know, this energetic help, there is astrology, there is herbalism, and they're all amazing tools.
So if some listeners would like to book a consultation with you, is that possible? How would they find you?
You can find me on Instagram on medic punct astrology, and just inbox me.
We can put a link to
Yeah,
this
we can put a link
under
there.
this episode. Yeah.
Sounds perfect. That's awesome.
Nice one. Well, thank you, Alessandra, for joining us and to share your not only your studied knowledge, but also your experience from a practicing medical astrologer.
Thank you, guys.
So it's been really useful, and I learned a lot.
You did? Yeah,
So did I.
yeah.
So thank you a lot.
Okay, you
It's
guys
been
are
awesome.
welcome. It was very nice. And as I say, it was the first time for me, so I was a little bit nervous. But I hope I can give a little bit of, you know, some open the horizon for somebody about medical astrology. And there is so much to say about that. And we really just scratched a little 0.01%.
Yeah.
There's so much to say and so much to look into, but maybe we can do some other time.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
I'm just gonna say before we end, thank you to everyone who has listened or viewed this episode, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.